Exorcisms are one of Hollywood's favorite topics. There are hundreds of movies that have been produced on the subject. However, few are based on true stories. Exorcisms are a serious issue for the Catholic Church, where allegations of demonic possession are not taken lightly. A case that brought several headaches to this institution was that of Annelise Michel, a 23-year-old German student whose death caused a serious confrontation between faith and science. Welcome to the Disconnected Podcast, disconnecting you from reality.
May not be suitable for younger listeners. Listener discretion is advised. Hello, welcome back to the Disconnected Podcast. I am your host, Jesse.
And I am your host, Angel.
And today we're going to be talking about some pretty crazy stuff. But before we get into that, tell the listeners what you just told me.
Okay. So, you asked me how my morning was.
Yes, I did.
So, I just told you, I told her, I got a haircut, like, not long ago, like an hour ago. And I cut my finger. I was helping a friend move some kitchen cabinets from his, because it's going to rain, from his patio, just move them underneath the roof so they wouldn't get wet. So I cut my finger.
And instead of getting, you know, wet from the rain, they're smeared with blood now.
Yeah. He's like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm okay. All of his white cabinets were red.
You're trying to make it better. You're like, I'm so sorry. Let me move them. I'll help you. No, stop touching them.
Stop. I mean, at least they're not going to get wet.
You grab his face. I'm so sorry. You're like, you're making it worse.
Yeah. So it was crazy. Yeah. But he's still my friend.
I think. I'm pretty sure he's still my friend.
Oh, that was funny. That was too funny.
Anyway, exorcisms.
Anyway, exorcisms, demons, Satan.
Yes.
So today we're going to be talking about the terrifying exorcism of Annelise Michel.
Mm-hmm. It is pretty terrifying.
Yeah, so this story is based on there was a movie. I think it came out back in 2005 or 2006.
Yeah, 2005. Yeah.
It's called the Exorcism of Emily Rose.
Yes.
So that movie is based on Annelise Michel's
story
experience with what happened to her, exorcism with her, all that
dark. Juicy stuff.
I was gonna say all that juicy stuff, but no, that's
exorcisms. Was, juicy.
Yeah. Satan.
Juicy.
No. So, anyways, we're gonna talk about her and. It's a disturbing story, so...
Yes.
Listener discretion is advised.
It is always advised, but yes. Especially this episode.
Yeah, especially this one. It's a little bit on the dark side.
Oh, whoa.
Whoa, what was that?
Whoa, you sounded so fake. Whoa, what was that?
What was that? I don't want to get scared.
It was just me.
It was just me, right?
Oh, God.
So, anyways... Annelise Michel was born on September 21, 1952, in Western Germany. She grew up in a very Catholic family, being strictly induced in the religious environment, more so by her mother. Annelise was always considered kind and extremely devoted. She attended Mass twice a week and prayed every day. She was also very intelligent, dreaming of being able to study at a university and help her parents, who like many in those years were dedicated to their small farm.
Yeah.
So her mother, Anna, and father, Joseph, had a baby out of wedlock. And back then, if you had kids before getting married, that was looked down upon.
Yeah. Yeah. Big no-no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially if you come from a very strict Catholic family.
Mm-hmm.
And I was ashamed. And when the parents got married, she was forced to wear a black veil.
Oh.
Yeah, I think it symbolizes...
Yeah, you're not like, pure.
Like or shame. Or, yeah, ugh. Exactly. You're not pure.
Gross.
Yeah.
Not gross like her, but gross like people who made her do that.
Yeah, those traditions. Yeah. Yeah, that's very old school.
Yeah.
So they had a little girl before Annalise named Martha in 1948, who died at the young age of 8 years old during an operation to remove a kidney tumor.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, when Annalise was just 4 years old.
Oh, so she had an older sister.
Yeah, so when she passed away, when Martha passed away, then she became the older sister.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so at the age of 16, she suddenly fainted at school and began to walk in a daze.
Mm-hmm.
Although Annalise did not remember the event, her friends and family said she was in a trance state. She wandered around expressionless, as if she were hypnotized.
Yeah.
After a year, the young woman experienced a similar event where she woke up in a trance and wet the bed. Her body also went into a series of convulsions, causing it to tremble uncontrollably, but when she woke up, she couldn't move. She felt as if a strong, unseen force was pushing her against the bed, trying to crush her body.
So she had an epilepsy attack.
Yes. Or that's what she thought at the time. Following that second episode of seizures, Annalise saw a neurologist who diagnosed her with temporal lobe epilepsy. It's a disorder that causes seizures, memory loss, visual and auditory hallucinations.
Mm-hmm.
This disorder can also cause Geschwind syndrome, in which patients would experience intense emotions, detailed thoughts, and a compulsion to write or draw.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this cluster of characteristics became known as the epileptic personality. Over the next decade, other researchers added hostility, aggression, and lack of humor.
Oh, so, I mean, yeah, when you have, like, that strong of epilepsy attacks, it's gonna mess with your brain, like, your brain chemicals and the structure of it, mm-hmm. So... It makes sense for someone to get that far into changing even their personality.
And there's a point that your brain doesn't know what's real or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Like, you start seeing things and you're like a ghost or something. Because mm-hmm. During that time, it's not like, oh, it's just science. It's, oh, there's probably a ghost in my house.
Yeah. She was interned for a time in the Würzburg Psychiatric Hospital. When she got out, Annalise was able to finish her high school studies. She later enrolled at the University of Würzburg in 1973, thus taking the first big step towards her dream.
Yeah, like going to college, helping her.
She wanted to have a normal life,
mm-hmm.
even though she was not having that life.
Yeah, that makes sense, though.
So despite this, it is speculated that being in the hospital did not really help her condition much, because although the attacks were relatively controlled, they didn't stop. She fell into depression and was frustrated by the treatments.
Mm-hmm.
Annalise started to experience strange symptoms, stating, and I quote, "I see devil faces flash before my eyes when I try to pray."
Yeah, that's, I don't know. My explanation is that her brain was just used to seeing that imagery because mm-hmm. she grew up in church.
Mm-hmm.
And you see a lot of that, like, devil imagery in church. So maybe it was just her brain bringing up
just like her memories, her...
Yeah, like images that are mm-hmm. considered evil.
Yeah.
And so, like, I'm trying to pray and my brain is kind of... It's different now because of the epilepsy. So I'm trying to pray and do something good and my brain's going to bring me up images of something evil. Mm-hmm. So I think now that the devil's trying to not have me pray,
mm-hmm.
I guess that's the explanation that I had.
Yeah, so she would stop praying.
Yeah, because she was scared.
Yeah, and said that this was a sign.
Yeah, I mean, I would be scared too.
She and her parents were convinced that this was not a mental illness. This had to have a more sinister explanation.
Mm-hmm.
They were sure that she was being harassed by dark forces. Doctors gave her an antipsychotic drug to treat her hallucinations. Come on, like, if someone told you that they see demon faces when they pray, what would you say?
I would say, hey, let's go to therapy.
Yeah, I mean...
I don't know, because... I'm not a doctor.
I mean, I get it. Demons and malignant forces will be the last diagnosis a doctor will give you.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Like, they'll go through every single scientific explanation possible. And when they can't, then they're like, I don't know. I can't explain it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, That's usually what happens.
Yeah, so she was prescribed the antipsychotic meds, but didn't work, obviously. She was praying daily, hoping that her faith would help her get through this.
Mm-hmm.
The more and the more she prayed, she would hear voices in her head saying that she was damned for life and that she would burn in hell.
Yeah. Once again, it's probably just the epilepsy, but that's me explaining it with science and not being like, oh, possessions. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of people out there who did believe or still do believe that she was possessed.
And Elise always carried a crucifix or something religious with mm-hmm. her. She was scared, obviously.
Yeah.
She said that she would smell rotten flesh or feces when no one seemed to perceive the smell.
That's not good.
That's a very bad sign.
That's
a red flag.
Yeah. If I've ever seen one, that is a really bright red flag.
Yes. Yeah.
As we have said it before, the scent of something dirty or seeing dirty things around your house.
Smelling something wrong.
The sign of evil.
Yeah. So no one seemed to perceive the smell, only her.
Yeah.
One day while praying, she had a vision of the Virgin Mary and asked Annelise if she was willing to sacrifice herself to be a victim soul.
Oh.
Yeah, the world was forgetting the traditional teachings of the church and they needed to prove that Satan exists.
Oh.
So she was going to be possessed by demons and Annelise agreed.
Oh.
Let's have in mind that she'd always empathize with the world. Like,
yeah.
If she saw a homeless person or a drug addict on the streets, she would later sleep on the floor in her room naked, empathizing with them.
Oh.
Yeah.
So she's like hyper-religious.
Very, yeah. She even told her mother that she was willing to suffer for those unlucky ones.
I did read that, because I did read some backstory. And she's like, I'm willing to suffer so that others are cared for or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Perhaps it wasn't the Virgin Mary who spoke to her.
Or perhaps it was just...
Rather, something else more sinister portraying the Virgin Mary, because it knew how devoted Annelise was to the church.
Maybe. Or perhaps it was just her growing up really religious and her brain just associating that with everything she did. Mm. And there's a way you can explain it with science too. But, you know, who knows?
Maybe you can't.
I don't know. That is my explanation for me, so I feel better, but I don't know.
So Annelise said that she was constantly seeing what she described as evil faces on people's faces and had already gone to church twice asking for an exorcism to be performed on her.
Yeah.
Something that was obviously rejected. So
shout out to the Pope. Keep going, sorry.
A friend of Annelise's parents organized a pilgrimage to take her to a saint shrine in Sicily, Italy.
Okay.
As they arrived at the shrine, they saw people kneeling and praying. They all started to kneel and pray, but Annelise couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
She tried several times to enter that her hands would start burning as she got closer to the ground to pray.
Oh.
And holy pictures would appear so bright that it hurt Annelise's eyes. Faces of other people praying would turn into demon faces gnawing their teeth.
Oh.
An older woman who accompanied Annelise on the pilgrimage noticed that she avoided walking past a particular image of Jesus and that she refused to drink water from a holy spring.
Oh.
The woman also claimed that Annelise smelled hellishly bad. An exorcist from a nearby town examined Annelise and concluded that she was demonically possessed.
Oh.
So
interesting.
Very interesting. Here is where we ask for listener discretion as we are going to dive into the portion of the exorcism.
Oh, I got chills. my stomach started turning when you said that. I'm like, oh, please no.
Yeah. You ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
All right. So we can define an exorcism as an act or practice based on religion or spirituality where through a ritual, either by prayers or other techniques, they seek to expel one or more demons from the body or soul of a person.
Mm-hmm.
This method is disclosed from the scriptures of the Bible because Jesus had the gift of being able to perform these acts, something that happened to his disciples.
Yeah. He was very known to, if someone was possessed, he would just go up to them and... But he was like super quick about it. He was like, get out!
Like...
Yeah, he would like snap his finger. But yeah, that's because
he was Jesus.
He was Jesus. That makes sense.
So Ernst Alt, a priest with some prestige in the field of exorcisms in Germany, met Anneliese in 1973 and became convinced that she had symptoms of being possessed. At that time, the priest spoke with the girl's family, explaining that the church did not accept the exorcism process because their daughter did not present all the symptoms, such as speaking in other languages that she did not know, or enormous force, or aberration before religious images. Something that her parents told Anneliese.
Yeah.
So this could sound like something normal. However, after this event, Anneliese Michel suddenly began to present these types of symptoms.
But they told her?
Yeah.
So her parents told her, you're not presenting these specific
and
symptoms.
And then all of a sudden, she just started.
And all of a sudden, she started presenting those symptoms. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So she began to present these types of symptoms. So later, the power of human suggestion was debated.
Yeah.
It should be noted that there have already been several studies on the power of the mind, as they can even cause someone's death.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I'm so...
So we're going to the science part of it.
Okay. Ooh.
The scientific part.
Yes.
So in other words, the priests came to think that what Anneliese Michel was presenting was nothing more than psychological. Suggestion is the psychological process by which a person guides their own or another person's desired thoughts, feelings, and behaviors by presenting stimuli that may elicit them as reflexes instead of relying on conscious effort.
So you're basically just manipulating someone.
So it's just, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So you're like saying, hey, if you do this, you'll get attention or you'll get like what you want. And so they do it. And then now they're getting what they want. So it's just like a reward system, basically.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
However, this was not the case. Anneliese was getting worse by the day. And with these new evidence under his arm, Alt, the priest, got the authorization of the church and set out to perform an exorcism and did not go well.
I wonder why. I wonder, maybe she just needed medical help. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just saying, maybe she just needed a good doctor.
Yeah, according to Alt,
as
well as Anneliese's parents, the exorcism had failed due to the schizophrenia medications that the girl was taking.
Oh, no.
So they decided to suspend them.
Oh, no.
Something that would later be the cause of her trial.
Yeah.
For a whole year, various exorcisms were performed on her. Each and every one of them was recorded on audio tapes and photographs where you could see the terrible deterioration suffered by the young woman.
I did see some pictures. She looks like she's already dead.
Yeah, and she doesn't look like a 23-year-old.
No, she was 23 years old. I look at her, I'm like, that is a woman in her 50s.
Yeah, she looked very deteriorated.
Yeah.
Very, very
I'm sorry for people in their 50s. Well, she just looked... It's very jarring. Because this is a person my age.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So...
She was very... It's crazy. She suffered a lot.
Yeah.
And she had a terrible injuries all over her body. As she cut herself with objects or her nails.
Mm.
Her knees were broken due to the 600 genuflections. It's a gesture of briefly bending the right knee to the ground.
Oh yeah, I did read about that too.
With the torso erect.
Yeah, where she like broke her knees and her ligaments in her knees because she's prayed so much.
Yeah, so she did 600 genuflections. She obsessively performed during one of the exorcisms.
Oh.
She screamed horribly for long hours, barked like a dog, hid under the table. According to her relatives, she climbed walls.
Oh.
She even bit off the head of a dead bird.
Oh.
She only wanted to eat spiders and coal. She hardly drank water and licked up her own urine from the floor.
Yeah. That is a thing that happened.
Dozens of tapes store more than 42 hours of recording of the rituals, which were also witnessed by the neighbors and family friends, who pointed out that the young woman was able to speak in different languages and that she even had different voices.
Yeah, I mean, the human voice Because I know a lot of voice actors. Well, not that I know them personally, but I know of a lot of voice actors. Mm-hmm. They can do crazy things with their voices. They can sound like a completely different person, and you would never know. So I'm not surprised that she was able to also do that with her own voice. A lot of people think, oh, it's so weird. She's talking like an old man, and she doesn't have an old man voice. But there's voice actors out there who are young women who can sound like older men.
You think that was a possibility?
I think that is a possible explanation to what was going on.
Okay. All right.
But I don't know. I still don't know anything.
So beware, the following audio is a recording of Annalise Michel during one of her exorcisms. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Yes. Oh, damn. I had not heard that because I told you I don't want to hear it before the episode.
What do you think?
That is... I'm sorry for her throat in the first place because that sounds so...
Very raspy.
She was raspy.
She was forcing her
throat. That would hurt so bad. Yeah. And her screaming on hours on end without stopping that. That is crazy. Nuts.
It's unbelievable.
Not her... Not that I'm calling her crazy. Just the...
The situation.
The situation. Like
what
her...
she went through.
Her voice is so completely different. Yeah. And, I mean, people can do that with their voice. That's why people were probably scared. But it's still, like... It's still terrifying to walk into a room and someone's doing that.
Yeah, that's...
Like me losing my voice constantly when recording episodes. But that's different.
That's just you.
That's just me. I don't know why.
Yeah, no. So this was Annalise Michel in one of the exorcism sessions that were performed on her. We obviously can't understand anything because she was speaking another language.
Yeah.
Witnesses claim that she would spit on the priests and call them bad names. According to the father's recording, she claimed to be possessed by six different demons.
Yeah.
Lucifer, Cain, who murdered his brother in the book of Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Nero, the murderous emperor of Rome. He was one of the cruelest emperor Rome has ever had.
Neo? I'm kidding. Sorry.
Nero.
From the Matrix?
No.
Sorry. I'm so sorry.
Hitler and the corrupt 16th century priest named Valentin Fleischmann, who was appointed as a priest of the Catholic Church in 1572. He was unfrocked, or his rights as a priest were revoked by the church in 1575 for his bad alcoholic behavior. He was also accused of assault and attempt to murder.
Oh, well, yeah, that makes sense why they would unfrock him.
Yeah. So all of these demons would talk to each other using Annalise's voice and argue with one another.
Wouldn't she, like, change her pitch when she was talking? Like, it was, like, one pitch for, like, Hitler, and then she would talk as Nero, and they would just completely change.
Yeah, and they would argue with each other. Like,
oh.
So, yeah, they...
No. No, thank you.
Yeah, the poor girl would grunt and scream in the voices of the demons.
Yeah.
So they wanted her body and fought for dominance as she would scream in pain.
Oh.
Her last exorcism was on June 30, 1976. By then, Annalise was in a deplorable state. Not only was she suffering from pneumonia and tuberculosis, but she was also malnourished and dehydrated.
Yeah, they weren't giving her medicine for any of the things that she had. So it's no wonder that her body it gave up.
Yeah.
A body does not survive like that.
Yeah, she was in a very bad state.
Yeah.
Her condition was such that she could not bear the intensity of the ritual and died at home after telling her mother that she was afraid. After a year and 67 exorcism sessions, Annalise was totally exhausted, seriously ill with pneumonia and anemia, and unfortunately she left this world on July 1st, 1976 at just 23 years of age.
Dude, that makes me so angry because it could have been avoided if they just helped her.
Yeah, and hold on, look what her mom said. I know that we did the right thing because I saw the sign of Christ in her hands. She was bearing stigmata, and that was a sign from God that we should exorcise the demons.
Dude.
She died to save other souls, to atone for their sins.
No. No, dude. Take her to a doctor, please. That sucks. That really sucks.
Yeah, but you know, her family was very, very religious.
So yeah, exactly.
They didn't believe
Well, they didn't believe in the medicine. Believed in, like, the priest telling them that their child was
possessed.
And when you're a parent and you're desperate to get the help to fix your kid, if they're going through that, it makes sense for her to be so, like, oh, we need her exorciser to save her. So, but also, go read a book, lady.
Yeah. They were very devoted, so...
Anyways.
Yeah. In the 2005 film, The Exorcism of Emily Rose, only one of the characters, Father Richard Moore, was found guilty of negligent homicide surrounding the death of Emily Rose. In the real-life case of Annalise Michel, there were four defendants, not just one. They were Father Arnold Renz, Pastor Ernst Alt, and Annalise's parents, Joseph and Anna. All four were found guilty of negligent homicide and sentenced to 6 months in prison, suspended with 3 years probation.
Yeah, so instead of going to jail, they just got probation for 3 years.
Yeah.
Which, no, you should have ended up in jail for much longer than that, for murdering innocent.
Do you think it's possible that Annalise was copying what she had seen in the William Friedkin's 1973 film, The Exorcist?
Maybe, because that was, after that movie, exorcisms became really, like, they boomed.
Yeah.
For some reason, people were doing them more than before.
Mm-hmm. So, The Exorcist was released in Germany in 1974, 2 years prior to the audio tapings of The Exorcisms, in which we hear Annalise's recorded voice. Even though her voice is quite chilling, it bears a striking resemblance to the growling, the barking, and inhuman voice of Linda Blair from Friedkin's film.
Yep.
This has caused some people to conclude that Annalise was simply mimicking what she had seen in the film.
That makes a lot of sense.
So if she had, in fact, seen the film. So upon its release in Germany, the movie created a sort of paranormal hysteria.
Yeah.
That swept the nation. European psychiatrists reported an increase of obsessive ideas among their patients.
Yeah, because when someone is vulnerable, like mentally vulnerable, they're going to pick up on something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then it's intensified.
Yeah.
So it makes sense for so many people who are vulnerable to see this thing and be like, oh, that's me or something. And then their brain distorts it.
The movie, however, does not provide explanation for the years prior to 1974, in which she was experiencing numerous other afflictions that she had and those close to her had attributed to the demonic possession.
Well, maybe she was just really, like, maybe she was just epileptic.
Maybe, okay, so she had the epilepsy before the movie came out. But what if when she probably saw the movie in 1974 and her brain kind of like, you know, like...
Yeah, something clicked. Or also, like, epilepsy, it can get really bad.
Yeah.
It can deteriorate a mind really badly in just a few years. So that combined with her being so religious, combined with seeing that movie.
And think about it. Back then, there wasn't enough medication to treat epilepsy or seizures.
It was like the 70s, right?
It was, the 70s.
Yeah, so medicine wasn't what it was today. So some people think, like, oh, maybe she could have just gone to a really good doctor, but maybe there wasn't just a really good doctor where she was.
Yeah. So why did Annalise refuse to eat?
Yeah.
So she forced herself to fast because she believed that it would rid her of Satan's influence.
Okay.
Yeah. At the time of her death, she weighed only 68 pounds.
Yeah. Fasting is a thing people do to... they're saying they're controlling their body so their body doesn't have control over their mind or their soul. So that's what fasting is. So it makes sense for her to be like, I'm fasting so I am in control. Not the demons that are possessing me.
Yeah, so her resting place is on Klingenberg am Main, Bavaria.
Isn't it like a really popular spot for like people who are on a pilgrimage, like a religious pilgrimage?
After the trial, the parents asked the authorities for permission to exhume the remains of her daughter. The official reason presented by the parents to authorities was that Michelle had been buried in undue hurry in a cheap coffin.
Yeah.
Almost 2 years after the burial, on February 25, 1978, her remains were replaced in a new oak coffin lined with tin. The official report state that the body bore the signs of consistent deterioration.
Yeah, so maybe some people believed that her body would look different because she was, believe she was possessed, but it just showed like it was a normal body that had passed away.
So her grave became and remains a pilgrimage site.
Yeah, so a lot of religious people go all over the world and go to her grave, and because they believe that she did save them.
Mm-hmm.
They believe that she did sacrifice herself for the souls of others.
Which and we don't know.
We don't know. I can only say my explanation, but I don't want to speak for other people because I don't know.
Yeah, but you're free to say whatever you want.
I have my opinions. It's your opinion. I have my opinions, but are they right? I don't know. Are other people right? I don't know. I don't know anything, is what I'm trying to say.
The number of officially sanctioned exorcisms decreased in Germany due to this case.
Yeah.
In spite of Pope Benedict XVI's support for wider use of it compared to Pope John II.
Uh-huh. He came after, I think.
Who in 1999, made the rule stricter, involving only rare cases.
Yeah.
It's just a very...
It was a cultural shift.
Yeah. When I was researching this, I felt like maybe it was true that she was possessed, but we gotta stay open minded here. Maybe she was sick.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe her seizures or her
the schizophrenia.
Yeah, that probably played a big role here.
Yeah, because mental illnesses and like the mind is. It's a very powerful thing.
Very powerful.
So, for someone to just throw it off as if she was possessed, but never really like giving her the proper medical attention that she needed at the time, we don't know.
Yeah, and let's have in mind, I mean, if good exists, evil, obviously.
Well, yeah, there's some good people out there, and then there's some really evil people out there.
But there's always an explanation to what may be happening, and honestly I would say that she was sick. Unfortunately, she didn't get the help that she needed. I do believe in all of these dark forces that exist and the underworld and all of those.
Yeah,
but I mean, I think if she would have gotten the help that she needed, she would have been alive.
A lot of what happened to her could have been avoided.
Yes,
but her parents didn't want her get help. Mm-hmm. The priest told her to get off the meds.
Yeah.
And she agreed with everything because she really believed she was possessed. But also, they were taking her word for it. But she was also, like, very sick.
Mm-hmm.
When a patient is very sick like that, doctors sometimes don't listen to them. They're like, no, I know you're saying all of these things, but I know how I can help you.
Yeah. Yeah, and personally, if I would have seen my son in that state, I would have been like, you know what, let's go take him to a doctor. And I would seek medical help.
Exactly. But also, we didn't grow up like hyper religious like they did.
Yeah, I know. I understand. Some people are very, very devoted to the church, and they don't believe in what medications can do.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
It was an interesting story.
It was.
Yeah.
My voice just cracked. Did you hear that? Am I going through puberty?
Again?
Again? Second puberty?
Yeah. So it was an interesting story. Thank you for being here.
Yes. Thank you so much for listening.
Yeah. Thank you, everybody. This is the sixth episode, right? I think so.
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know how to count, so I don't believe in counting. You can find us on Spotify, Anchor, and all major platforms, as well as TuneIn Radio, Amazon Music, and Audible as The Disconnected Podcast. We are on so many platforms that I listen to. It's kind of crazy.
We are getting famous now.
Yeah, we're a little famous.
Yeah, people are... Are you the guy from The Disconnected Podcast?
Wait, can you say welcome to the podcast? Hello, my name is Angel.
I love it. Hey, can you do the... Disconnected Podcast?
I like, hide my face in
public. Welcome to the Disconnected Podcast. I'm like, oh my God. No.
No, no one recognizes us.
We're not famous yet.
Yet.
But we're going to keep doing this.
And get famous.
And get famous. I want to get famous. I want to be famous.
You want to be famous?
I want to be famous.
I don't know if I want to be famous.
Why not? It's going to be fun.
Just, I don't know. Just, I like my privacy.
You like your privacy? I mean, you're not gonna be like Brad Pitt or Angelina Jolie that the paparazzi is gonna be like outside your door.
You never know that.
Yeah, well,
I could be at Costco and then get like swarmed. Getting swarmed at Costco, guys.
Hashtag
getting swarmed. Hashtag at Costco.
Yeah. Hashtag loving it.
Loving it. Isn't that... No.
That's if you go to McDonald's.
Yeah. Not sponsored by McDonald's.
But if you want to sponsor us...
McDonald's? Oh my gosh. If we get... I got excited. If we get it sponsored...
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. If we get sponsored by McDonald's, please sponsor us. I love the chicken nuggets so much. I know they're bad for me and I know how they make them. They're pretty bad.
But you don't care.
But I don't care. I'll put that stuff in my body. Anyway... you can also share our podcast on social media.
Yes, please share it.
And you can also share it through word of mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're very powerful, those kinds of referrals. So, share us with your mouth.
Yeah, share us with your mouth, please.
Please, please like and share and rate us 5 stars.
Five, please.
Five, please. There's no other option. No, the only option.
There's no four. There's no three.
You're going to see other numbers there. They don't exist.
Yeah, don't mind them.
Yeah, only the five exist.
Yeah, just five. Make sure the 5 stars are highlighted.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Or else you can't submit your review. So we start growing and we can start doing cooler stuff. Yeah. Stuffs for the podcast. Don't forget to enable the notification bell to get notified every time we post.
Ding.
Ding. So you look like you're absolutely obsessed with this podcast. That would be great. If you have any notable paranormal encounters or out-of-body experiences or any of that, you can email us at thedisconnectedpod@gmail.com and you might hear your name or not if you don't want us to say your name.
Mm-hmm.
Stay tuned for the Disconnected Podcast merch. Ooh, that's coming soon.
Very, very soon.
We're still working on that, very soon.
Yes.
You can also find us on Twitter as @DADisconnected. Instagram as The Disconnected Pod, Facebook and Tumblr as The Disconnected Podcast, and you can also support the show with a small monthly donation. It can be as small as a dollar. It can be as small as $2,000.
Yeah.
It's pretty small for me. Yeah. It's pocket change.
You got pocket
change. I got pocket change of $2,000.
In coins.
They're all pennies. My pants keep falling. and all of this information will be in the show notes, so if you didn't catch any of that because you zoned us out, that's fine. Everything will be in the show notes, all the links and all the good stuff's down there. Mm-hmm. And as always, this has been the Disconnected Podcast, disconnecting you from reality. I'm your host, Jesse.
And I am your host, Angel.
And we will see you next time.
Bye.
Goodbye.